What's going on, everybody? Welcome back. The DFS OG's back in the house talking everything week 12, including the Thanksgiving games. We don't want to leave those out, so we're going to cover those. We're going to cover the main slate, so as we always do. I am your host, as always, Beer, joined by my boys, Notorious and Head Chopper. Chop, let's get started with you here this week. Obviously, Thanksgiving is here, so how are you? What are the plans for Thanksgiving here? I know it's a big event for you, so people coming to your house? Are you traveling? What's the plan this year?
Well, once again, going to have everybody come on over, and we'll make the food and just kind of, you know, trickle on in as you please and eat some food. We got a lot of stuff going on. Just before we aired here, I just did put the turkey in the brine bag. So we're brining right now.
Nice.
Have that puppy going all night. And then, you know, told my wife before she splits here, because, you know, dog's got to get a haircut. So we're taking the dog to PetSmart. So I said, before you split, make me a hot chocolate. It's the festive season. So I got a little hot chocolate working. I'm ready, man. I love it.
Look at this guy, man. And you're doing it right with the turkey, man. Turkey is gross, in my opinion. I mean, it's all right, but you got to add as much flavor and tenderness to it as you can, Chop. So I like to see that you're giving a little extra. The brining is important. The people that just throw it in the oven, it's going to come out dry as shit. So you got to do something to spice up that turkey. So, Noto, let's get to you. Happy Thanksgiving to you as well, buddy. What's the plan here for the holiday tomorrow?
Yeah, so usually, it goes back and forth each year between, you know, my mom's side of the family, my dad's side of the family. But, you know, my mom's dad's no longer in the picture. He was kind of the guy keeping the family together. So now we're starting new traditions of going over to my wife's, you know, sister's house, and they're smoking turkey legs, like the big old turkey legs.
Okay.
So, I'm kind of excited to try this. And then on my mom's side, we're going to Teppanyaki, which is like a Benihana style restaurant on Friday. So some new traditions in the works for me.
All right, smoking it, I can deal with that. I've had some deep fried turkey. That's fantastic as well. Normally the traditional, it just gets too dry. When you got to drown that shit in gravy, like that's not good. So anytime there's a ham, anything additional to the turkey, I like seeing it. We already got some action in the chat talking Thanksgiving. Our boy Josh Duck said, it's all about the sides. I agree. I could skip the turkey and just go right to all the different side dishes. So we'll keep talking some Thanksgiving food as we go here. Doug in the chat, Noto, asking some golf questions if you want to help him out with that. But we are sponsored by FanDuel. Make sure you guys are heading over there. If you haven't yet, check out all the offerings at FanDuel. We're talking daily fantasy. We're talking sportsbook. We're talking casino. We're also talking the DFS OG's contest there at FanDuel.com/OG. That's going to land you on this page you see right here. We're going to be able to pull up the leaderboard. This is a season-long contest that we have going on. We started all the way back in week one. We're going all the way through week 18. Your top 10 scores will count. It's a single-entry tournament each and every week. Just a $7 buy-in, so a price point for everybody. And there's 10,000 in additional prizes at the end of the year. There's still the weekly prizes as well. The winner of this tournament turns that $7 into $500 each and every week. And the winner overall going to walk away with $5,000 in additional money. So if you've been playing it, we thank you. We'll see you in there again this week. It will run for the main slate on Sunday. If you haven't tried it out yet, hey, give it a shot. Jump in. Not too late to jump in on that leaderboard. So again, FanDuel.com/OG. That'll get you through all the information you're going to need. You can sign up for a lineup right there in the play now button, view that leaderboard, and we'll highlight some of the top finishers here later in the show and take a look at that season long leaderboard. So guys, let's get into this Thanksgiving slate real quick. Obviously, three gamer. Always start with the Detroit Lions. They are hosting the Chicago Bears in this one. Bears -3, 41.5 on the total. So Derek, we'll start with you this week. News-wise, quarterbacks, really the story here. No Justin Fields for Chicago this week. Andy Dalton going to get the start there. Allen Robinson looking like he will not play in this game either. Detroit side sounds like they're going to get Jared Goff back in that lineup. So they're kind of an ugly one here to start us off. We got some better games upcoming on this slate, but we always start with this Lions game. What are we doing in DFS? Is there any way to get different here? There's kind of a general build. I mean, you look at the slate, obviously people are going to stack Dallas. They're going to stack Buffalo. What can we do in this game maybe to get a little bit different outside of probably David Montgomery, who's going to be very popular here along with DeAndre Swift?
Yeah, it's an ugly game for like the main slate, you know, compared to 13 other games. But this is actually a pretty appealing game for this three-game slate. I mean, two really good defenses squaring off at night. And then, I mean, everyone's going to be on the Dallas game. So I do think there are some good pieces here. You mentioned David Montgomery. It's hard not to like him. He's basically playing, you know, almost all the snaps right now. Lions, one of the worst run defenses in the NFL. They've given up 7 receiving touchdowns of running backs, which I like as well. So love the spot for Montgomery. You got to think he's going to be popular, but I'll let others, you know, kind of try to fade him, and I'll look to differentiate elsewhere. I'm fine going to Mooney. I think he's going to be pretty popular too if Robinson ends up being out. So maybe go to Goodwin. I don't think I'll be on Cole Kmet. I mean, he's only had 1 double-digit fantasy point outing all season. And it just seems like everyone loves playing him. Every time you pull up some projections, you know, he's the guy that rates out really well. So I'll probably be lower on him. And then Dalton, I just don't know if he has the upside that I'm looking for, but can't ask for a much better spot at home against the – or not, sorry, indoors against the Lions. Other side, hard not to like Swift as well. I mean, Williams is back for sure in that backfield, but Swift is going to be a good bet for 20 touches against a pretty bad run defense. So I like the idea of, you know, pairing Montgomery with Swift. I would love to target the receivers because the Bears are, you know, 25th in fantasy points allowed to them, but I just don't know who to go to. I mean, St. Brown's interesting, but, yeah, just doesn't really have a lot of upside in the slot there. So maybe you go to Hockenson. And then if Goff's under center, I think he's at least a little bit interesting if you're, you know, not looking to play Dak or Allen. But for the most part, I mean, it's an ugly game. I like the running backs. And for my pick, I'm going to go with the over.
I am also on the over in this game. I want to believe Detroit can win this game. We have the whole Matt Nagy debacle on the other side. You know, do the players even want to play for this guy? Maybe you get an unspirited effort here. If they don't want to keep him around, I mean, you go to Detroit and lose a national TV, national audience on Thanksgiving, you're probably not keeping your job. So that motivation there for some of these Bears players may not be there. But I do like the over here as well, Derek. It's falling. I think it's falling a little bit too far. So, Chop, I want to ask you, Jared Goff's going to be the lowest owned quarterback on this entire slate. I know he's been terrible. Did have a good game against the Chicago team last time out. Any interest there? Because a lot of people are going to go to Swift and Montgomery, like Noto said. I don't disagree with those plays, but a three-gamer, we're trying to find little ways to get different. I'm intrigued by Goff. I think Hockenson's a solid play. So we got Darren Waller on the slate, some other tight ends that'll be popular. And maybe even a guy like Josh Reynolds, who has some chemistry with Jared Goff back to their time with the Rams. So I'm intrigued by this Detroit passing game here, Chop. Am I crazy? Is the tryptophan set in a little bit too early? What's going on here?
Well, it's a good question. Are we sure? I mean, I thought he was really highly questionable, Jared Goff, but maybe you guys heard some better news.
They're optimistic. They haven't officially said it's trending that he's going to play, but not official as of yet.
You guys surprised me, both taking the over right there, because I'm on the under. I can't get away from that now. I'm going to have to take the under just because I don't see – like, I'm kind of looking like, where's the touchdowns going to come from? Andy Dalton's on one side. He's very – I mean, is he average? He's probably below average. David Montgomery's the one shot at touchdowns I think you got, so I like Montgomery. But on the other side, like, where's your touchdown? DeAndre Swift, if your two biggest touchdown getters in the game are going to be running backs, I kind of like the under here in that case. Are you crazy for taking Goff? No, because there's only 6 quarterbacks in play for the whole slate. That's if you took all of them in your player pool. Only 2 of them are really good. That's Dak and that's Josh Allen. Josh Allen's got a tough matchup, and Dak might be without his best receivers, plural. He might not have receivers to throw to. They may lean on Elliott. So, no, you're not crazy for playing Jared Goff in this slate of games. I don't mind that at all. But from my standpoint, I just don't see a lot of touchdowns in this game. I'm taking the under. And outside of the 2 running backs, yikes, man. I'm not big on them for fantasy.
Yeah, it's a lot of, seems like dart throws. You know, we could talk Mooney without Robinson, you know, Goodwin and his big playability. Other side, you know, St. Brown's getting a lot of targets. Raymond has popped off in spots. I mentioned the chemistry with Reynolds and Goff, but they're all, you know, feel great about any of them. So I don't mind mixing them in to your player pool, give you a little different stack than what most people are going to have. But as far as a cash game goes, I don't see many plays outside of the running backs here. Maybe you make a case for Hockenson, but kind of an ugly game. So let's go to your Cowboys here, Chop. Back at home against Las Vegas, spread sitting at -7 in the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's where 7.5, excuse me, here. That's where we'll get all our odds for this show. 51.5 is the total here, Chop. So that Dallas-Kansas City game, kind of a snoozer. You know, it just did not shoot out like everybody was expecting. Now Dallas comes back home, gets a great matchup here with Vegas, but you mentioned it, Chop. We know Amari Cooper is out. CeeDee Lamb's still questionable here, so discuss that. Raiders side, clearly they're coming in at pretty much full strength here. So how does this game play out? Do we get the shootout everyone was expecting last week? Everybody's going to be targeting this game, stacking it. I always ask the question, Chop, how do we get different in this one?
Yeah, so one thing I did not mention going into that last game, this, we're shooting this on Wednesday. There's more injury news to think about on this Thanksgiving slate than I've ever seen. It's right. Going to define the slate. So take all this kind of with a grain of salt until you get those inactives, which are going to come 90 minutes before each game. So maybe, you know, keeping roster spots open is not the worst thing to do, especially for that night game. And we'll get into that in a minute, but for this one, yeah, I think CD's probably going to play. And if he does, I don't think there's you have to worry about him. It was a concussion, so it's not like it's a knee, ankle, or something like that that's going to hold him back physically. If he's good enough to play, he should be at 100%. And I think he's going to go, though. So that's going to help out that offense. The Raiders, I think, are okay. Yeah, you know, everybody's going to stack it, like you said. So I don't mind not stacking. You know, on a three-gamer Thanksgiving, I'm typically not looking to game stack anyway. I'm just trying to play the best players, honestly, and maybe even grab just one guy who's at low ownership. That's all you need, one guy at low ownership to go off. But if everybody's going to stack it, I don't want to stack it. The Raiders, that side is fine in the passing game. They don't run the ball good enough. Josh Jacobs don't do it for me. So you can go anybody in the passing game. I like Bryan Edwards, low-owned and low salary. That'd be a guy I would go to. Rather than, like, maybe chase the Detroit wide receivers, I think I'd rather have Bryan Edwards, but that's just me. You know, I know you like your Detroit guys, but then on the Cowboys side with CD playing, kind of opens things up for the offense. But I 100% would not doubt if Dallas, with Tyrone Smith coming back, wants to lean on the running game here and, you know, short week, get this game over, put it on ice, lean on Elliott and extra work for Tony Pollard. To limit Dak and CD from taking any more hits and get out of here with a win after that rough week last week. So I'm not putting it past Dallas to I don't even mind a double running back here on a short slate. Go Pollard and Elliott on the same team. But with all that being said, I do think Dallas takes the air out of the ball. I think the Raiders have really struggled since Ruggs has been out. I'm taking the under here too, man. This is going to be weird Thanksgiving. I'm sitting here rooting for no scoring, but I think I'm back on the under on this one too.
Well, this is always that game, the middle game. You know, after you ate, you're kind of in and out of it. It's your team, Chops. So you're probably paying a lot more attention. This is the one I'm kind of dozing out on, whatever the middle game always is, in and out of consciousness. So I agree with a lot of what you said there. I really like Tony Pollard on this slate. This is big playability. I mean, it only takes one play. Maybe they utilize him as more of a wide receiver if Lamb is indeed out. Even if he's not, you may see him get some more work. Zeke, a little bit banged up, so I love the Pollard call. Edwards, one of those guys, Chop, we keep trying to make him work, and you know he has a good game, then he has a zero, and then a decent game, then a zero. So coming off a zero, I agree. I don't think a lot of people are going to be comfortable there, so I like a shot on him. DeSean Jackson, we saw get behind the defense in that one game and then make a weird fumble running backwards. Not sure what happened, but he's that same kind of big play ability. So I do think there's pieces here where you can get a little bit different. I'm avoiding the running game here as well. Jacobs, Drake, kind of a split. So I'm pretty much a pass there. So Noto, let's go to you. How do you handle this one? How do you get different here? My pick, I'm going Las Vegas here. I know they've been bad. I think a lot of the public's going to be all over Dallas on this one. So I'm going to be on Las Vegas Island likely here. But I'll take the Raiders and the points. Noto, what do you got?
Yeah, so when we talk about being different in these slates, we always just assume it's, you know, taking a contrarian player. But one way to do it is to do, you know, contrarian roster construction. And Chop pointed out playing Zeke with Pollard. I think that's a great way to get different in this game. Both will garner ownership, but very few will play those two together. Another way to do it, play both of the tight ends. You know, people hate using two tight end lineups. I really like the spot for Dalton Schultz. Raiders, one of the worst teams in the NFL covering the tight ends. Same goes for the Cowboys. So I think it's interesting to pair those two up. Obviously, no Amari Cooper for Dallas. CeeDee Lamb's are questionable. So I really like the spot for Schultz. And I think pairing him with Waller is a way to get a little bit different as well. Love the spot for Gallup. And then Renfro is always in play for me just because, you know, he's a, you know, high floor guy. And I typically gravitate towards them in single entry contests, but don't have a ton of interest in anyone else in this game. And we're going to go all different on the board. I'm going to take the Cowboys. Are we doing the 7-point spread? Is that what you said?
7.5.
I'm seeing a 7 right here on Chop's screen.
I just pulled the lines all 15 minutes ago from the book. So I'll get you as fresh as you can right out of the ocean. 7.5.
I'll take 7.5. That's fine.
All right. Trying to weasel out of that hook there. I'm trying to gain that hook for my Vegas pick. So, all right, Dallas, Vegas, and an under. So we're all over the board on that one. Let's move to the nightcap for Thanksgiving. We got Buffalo -6 traveling to New Orleans, over-under sitting at 45. So, again, injuries the story here. Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, both questionable. So we'll see if they're able to give it a go. Derek, we'll stay with you here. Buffalo, another outing, you know, kind of surprising. As soon as you think they're back on track, things don't look great. Indianapolis comes in, and hopefully you had some Jonathan Taylor last week because that was the play you needed. Now, on the road here, short week going to New Orleans. The Saints, not much going on there either. A tough loss in Philadelphia. So, again, questionable tags for these running backs make it a little bit tough to break this thing down. But what do you got here, Buffalo and New Orleans?
Yeah, more game theory coming into play here. This is the final game, so a lot of lineups will have, you know, most of their spots locked. And if Kamara's out, if Ingram's out, and Tony Jones gets the start, I mean, he's going to be one of the better point-per-dollar producers on the entire slate. So I certainly think there are some interesting ways to attack it. I would certainly build some lineups with some potential late swap options for this backfield alone. You mentioned it. We saw what Jonathan Taylor did to the Bills last week. And Buffalo is still first in DVOA against the pass. So I do think the running back, whoever it's going to be, is going to be heavily involved. Traquan Smith, 15 targets over the last two games. So he's getting a little bit more life with Simeon under center. But that's pretty much it for me on the Saints side. A little bit of Smith and whoever starts at running back. For the Bills, I mean, it sounds like their beat reporter is saying this is going to be the Matt Breida game. I don't know how much I want to read into that, but you don't run on the Saints. I mean, they're first in DVOA against the run. So give me all the Allen. I do think Diggs will be popular. You know, he'll be locked up against Lattimore. That'll be fun to watch. I'm not scared of that matchup by any means, but I do think it opens up some things for Cole Beasley. He's been playing limited snaps because of the rib injury, but it sounds like he's going to be a full go for this one. And if that's the case, I think it's a really good spot for Beasley to get going in this one.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting plays in this game. I mean, the obvious Allen, Diggs. Diggs will be very highly owned. There's not a lot of expensive receivers here. We talked about quarterback. It's going to be mostly Josh Allen and Dak. People love the late night hammer. So this game will garner more ownership just because of that. So, but I agree. Some ways to get different. That Bills backfield. Nobody's going to want to attack it. It's not pretty. It's not easy to click any of those buttons. But if that report is true, we've seen Breida have some big games. A guy like Emmanuel Sanders, you get a little bit of revenge narrative coming back here and playing them. Gabriel Davis has some upside on the other side. I think a guy like Ty Montgomery is intriguing. If both of those running backs are out, we know he can help fill in and play some running back there. So at minimum price pretty much everywhere across the industry, he's intriguing. Traquan, like you said, Derek, getting a ton of targets here. So this one, I think a lot of ways that you can go. That first statement you made, though, for people that are new, save your flex spot for this game. You know, put your early guys in their running back, wide receiver spots. Be open to making the changes, making the swap, utilizing that late swap whether things are going good early, going bad early, but making these adjustments and leaving that flex open for this game. Chop, an intriguing game here. A lot of pieces we've talked about. Which ones are standing out? Anyone you're staying away from here? Let's finish up the Thanksgiving slate, Buffalo and New Orleans.
Yeah, I think Derek said it earlier, and it was a good point that you don't necessarily have to be taking crazy players in order to get different. Yeah, you just do different things within your lineup that people wouldn't want to do. And he said double tight end. And when I looked at this slate earlier today, I realized that this thing is loaded at tight end. Like you could easily just do double tight end just to do it. Just that could be optimal with. You know, there's a lot of good tight ends here. So going double tight end, I think, is a good way to get different. And it leads me to this game. One guy you could go. We know Dawson Knox is good. But on the other side, Juwan Johnson. He's a former wide receiver out of Penn State. He's very, very good. He's a touchdown maker. So it really bodes well for your FanDuel scoring. Troutman is out now. So Juwan Johnson may step into a bigger role here, especially with Simeon at quarterback. Last time we saw Juwan Johnson get a decent role earlier this year, it was Jameis Winston, who might not be a big tight end guy. Simeon might be a big tight end guy. We don't know. We're going to find out. I think it's worth a shot on something like that. But, yeah, two decent defenses. I think Josh Allen has a nice bounce-back game. I'm not sold that it's Diggs is in play, but the thing about Allen is he's got literally five guys he can throw to, so somebody's going to get there. Like, either Beasley, Sanders, Knox, Davis, somebody's going to get there. He's got all those weapons. On the other side, if Kamara, who I think on a short week, highly questionable here, and Mark Ingram, short week, and he's just kind of probably hit his wall now, man. I would imagine he's getting up there. Man, Tony Jones could be a really good play here if he's the last man standing. So I'm intrigued by that one, and we'll see. But you know, Kamara is the big one for me as far as this bet, because if Kamara plays, it's a totally different game, in my opinion. So I'm kind of flying blind here. Don't know what's going to happen with that. So pardon me if I lose this bet. It's because of Kamara either being in or out. But I'm going to assume he's out, and that's why I'm going to go 3-for-3 on the unders here, man. Give me the under again. I might as well go for it.
All right, you're rooting for a boring-ass Thanksgiving, Chop.
I mean, look at this game selection. They already gave us a boring Thanksgiving, right? I mean, yeah. By the way, when do we throw out tradition and say, okay, enough with the Lions?
Right.
Enough with that. Can we just get the best games on here? Like, when do they do that?
Hopefully soon. And it seems like we're getting Chicago with the Lions every single year.
Every other year, yeah.
I mean, it used to be Green Bay a lot, and then, you know, at least it was a little bit entertaining. But Bears and Lions, that's not a way to start your Thanksgiving with Bears, Lions. And I'm not even going to apologize to Bears Lions fans. They probably feel the same way. That's not, I mean, it's football. We love it. But yeah, I'm with you, Chop. Let's get rid of that. Why do they have to play? You know, mix it around, let some other cities experience it. I'm good moving on from that. So you went under. Derek, if you made a pick, I missed it.
Give me the Saints. It just feels like a lot of points. I don't know. It feels like one of those games that they're going to drag it out, but I don't mind the under.
I am New Orleans here as well with the points. I don't mind the under either, but I'm not gonna root for a boring Thanksgiving like Chop. I want to see some points here in a competitive game, but I do think we get that out of New Orleans. So all right, let's move on to the main slate here on Sunday. I believe we got 10 games to go through here, so we'll start with Tennessee and New England. New England up to -6.5 here, 44. On the total. New England, very impressive. Go to Atlanta and shut that team out. Tennessee, not so much. They were in our OG's parlay. They end up losing at home to the Houston Texans here. So, Chop, we'll stay with you on this one. Can Tennessee bounce back? We got news, I believe it was yesterday. Our boy Adrian Peterson released by Tennessee. So they add Dontrell Hilliard. So we're looking at a backfield of Deonta Foreman, Dontrell Hilliard here. A.J. Brown been in and out of the lineup dealing with injuries. And on that New England side, what's the split here? Do we trust Damien Harris? Do we trust Ramondre Stevenson? Are we just staying away from this situation? So a lot of questions here, Chop. Give us some answers. Titans, Patriots.
You know, the only answer I can give you from my standpoint is I'm avoiding it. I'm just not into it. It is a split backfield for New England. Don't like that. Don't like their passing game with Mac Jones. He's a nice game manager. I've said it before, but he's not really, like, I guess everything would have to be perfect for him to really thrive and have a big fantasy game. I don't see it happening here today or in this game. And on the split side, the backfield was already a black hole for Tennessee without Derrick Henry. Can't touch that anymore. You know, you can't. King Henry was great. These guys are not. Can't mess with that. And for some reason, Tannehill is absolutely struggling right now. And he's not getting the ball to A.J. Brown, who's probably a little bit banged up, but that's okay. And now we're playing New England. If you can't get it done against the Houston Texans, I'm not playing you against New England. So I'm just not on I'm just not on these guys. Man, I would hate to do this to you guys, but I may be under again here. Now I'm talking myself into an under. Let me see. We got to go under here, man. I got to go under again. This is crazy.
Now this one, I'm going to agree with you. I'm on the under here on this one as well. And it's fallen. It opened up at 46.5. Even on the page here, it says 44.5. It's down to 44 on the official line here for our picks. But I'm with you on this one. I just don't know how Tennessee is going to generate offense. These running backs are, you know, guys they basically plucked off the street. A.J. Brown is nicked up. You mentioned Tannehill just has not been the same this year. Maybe it has to do with the offensive coordinator leaving. We just have not seen the level of upside that we got out of him in the previous couple seasons. New England been playing well, no doubt. The defense is playing well. But they want to win ugly. They want to run the ball. I just don't see a ton of points in this game. So I'm pretty much off everything in DFS here, and I'm going under on this one as well. So, Derek, any more optimism here on this game? We got two unders already on the board.
I'm in agreement with pretty much everything you guys said. Pretty ugly game from a DFS perspective. Backfields, pretty easy to avoid both of them. A.J. Brown, in theory, should be a good play, but he's banged up. He's been under 10 fantasy points in three straight games. We know Bill Belichick likes to take away the best player on the opposing team. So for me, the only guy that's interesting is Jacoby Myers. And whatever I decide to do with Jacoby Myers is going to be the wrong side. So I'll let everyone know, Sunday morning, whether I'm playing him or not. I'm leaning towards playing him. So, I'll let you guys know. But kidding aside, add the first leg to the parlay. I like the under two.
All right, so we are fading Jacoby Myers, and we are adding to the parlay here, all three of us, on the under in this game. Update last week, 1-1 on our plays that we all agreed on. We mentioned Tennessee, and we had Cincinnati, and they had that big win against the Raiders. So we'll update our standings later on in the show as well and see where we're at in our little competition. Next game, this one should be fun, Tampa Bay. Traveling to Indianapolis, Tampa -3, a big total here, Derek, at 51.5. So Indy, a massive win going into Buffalo, and not just winning. I mean, they took it to Buffalo. So they're riding high. Tampa gets it done at home against the Giants. So probably expected a little bit more scoring there, but they put up 30, kind of a snoozer in that game. So how do you see this one playing out? Indianapolis is riding high here. Do they have enough? Can they slow down this Tampa Bay offense? And then Indy side, Jonathan Taylor, another tough test here, about the toughest test that you're going to face. Now we'll see if Vita Vea is back in the middle of that Bucs defensive line, but a lot of interesting names, a lot of ways you can go in this game, Derek.
Yeah, that Vita Vea injury, certainly one to monitor. I mean, if he's active, is one of the better run defenses in the NFL, but the Colts have one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. I don't think I could pay this much for Taylor in this matchup, but certainly wouldn't surprise me to see him have another big game. He just keeps doing it every week, and I keep fading him every week. So that one's been tough for me. Pittman's interesting, especially if they aren't able to get anything going on the ground. And then on the other side, I mean, Evans is banged up. Antonio Brown still questionable. Who knows? He's probably going to sit as well. So I think it's a great spot for Chris Godwin. We know over the years we like attacking Indy underneath, and Godwin runs a lot of his routes from the slot. So I think it's a great spot for him. And this has kind of turned into a pass funnel defense. The Colts are 20th in DVOA against the pass and 2nd in DVOA against the run. So, yeah, man, everything kind of points to a big game from Godwin. For my pick, I'll take Tampa. I mean, Tom Brady, man, he was fired up the other night. I think their defense is going to get going a little bit. So, usually don't like road favorites, but I like Tampa in this one.
All right, I'm on the other side of this one. I like what the Colts are doing right now. I do think they can, you know, sit back and keep things in front of them and limit this offense enough. And I do think they'll find success with Jonathan Taylor. You mentioned that offensive line. They're playing well. We didn't think they could do it in Buffalo. They did. I think they're going to be able to get it done here once again. The secondary for Tampa we know is terrible, so I like the spot for Michael Pittman. Just get a little bit different. People are going to be excited about Jonathan Taylor. I don't mind going that route. So all in all, I like Indy plus the 3 here. Chop, let's go to you. Fun game. How are you handling this one, Tampa and Indy?
Yeah, if Vea is in that lineup, then I don't want anything to do with the running game for either one of these two teams. And Jonathan Taylor is almost priced out regardless of who's in or out of the lineup for Tampa. It's pretty close. Let's just assume no running game for either side here, but I like the passing game for both sides. So yeah, Pittman and Wentz is a nice little stack. And then Brady with any one of his three weapons. I think Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, Rob Gronkowski are all in play here. So I like the passing games in this thing. And because of that, I'm going to switch my stance here and take the over finally.
All right. This guy's all over the totals this week. So, all right. Over for Chop, Tampa for Derek, Indy for me. So we're all over the board there. Let's move on. This one, you got to be about a diehard to watch this next game. Atlanta and Jacksonville. Atlanta, a -1 road favorite here. 46.5 on the total. So, Derek, this is your team. We'll get to you here shortly. Chop, what in the hell do we do with this game? There's always intriguing names here. Kyle Pitts, James Robinson, the quarterbacks. But this one is just straight ugly, man. So how are you handling this one, Atlanta and Jacksonville?
It is a boring real-life game. But if this thing was on Thanksgiving Day, it would probably be the best DFS game on the slate. It's interesting for DFS. You've got on one side, you know, Patterson coming back probably. So Patterson and Kyle Pitts, I think those guys are squarely in play against a bad defense. And on the other side, you've got James Robinson keeps putting up solid numbers. This is finally a really good matchup for him. Dan Arnold, nice value tied in every week. He's getting targeted. Now, he's not securing a lot of those targets, but he's getting targeted quite a bit. It's, you know, the old thing, the air yards thing, but he's getting them. He's in the mix there. I don't particularly like the wide receiving core for Jacksonville, but Arnold and Robinson on one side and Patterson and Pitts on the other side, I think make for really intriguing, like a little game stack right there going on. So yeah, I kind of like this game for fantasy purposes. I'll say that coming off of a little bit extra rest, give me Atlanta in this game with, you know, as the favorite.
All right, Derek, let's get over to you here. I keep wanting your Jags. Keep picking them, and they keep letting me down. I'm going to go with them here once again. I mean, Atlanta just looks absolutely terrible, and maybe it's Patterson not being in that lineup. It was a tough matchup with New England, so he's back. Obviously, that helps that offense, but that receiving core led by Russell Gage, we haven't seen the huge games out of Kyle Pitts yet. So as bad as your Jags have been, Derek, I'm going to back them here. Once again, I'm going Jacksonville +1. So bang my head against the wall one more time. Settle the debate here, Atlanta or your Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, I'm not betting on either of these teams. I would rather take my chance with the total. I have a Jacoby Myers problem. You have a Jaguars problem, which is interesting. But from a DFS perspective, the Jags 5th in DVOA against the run, so much better run defense than most people might expect. So, yeah, I like Russell Gage in this spot. I like Kyle Pitts in this spot. Jags, one of the worst pass defenses, 31st in DVOA, plus they can't really get pressure on the quarterback. Well, they've been better recently, but that was really just one game against Buffalo. So, yeah, I like the passing game a little bit for Atlanta. On the other side, a little bit of interest in James Robinson. And then the receivers, I just have a hard time trusting them. So give me Dan Arnold over any of the receivers. And man, two really bad offenses, two really bad defenses. I'll just take the under.
All right, let's move on to it. Well, this game's not a whole lot better here. At least we get one decent team in Philadelphia playing well, traveling to take on the Giants. Philly -3.5, total sitting at 46. So Derek, we'll stay with you. Another pretty convincing win for Philadelphia last week at home against New Orleans. The Giants, we just talked about, Tampa Bay, handled them pretty easily. It was ugly watching Daniel Jones in this offense. And they finally let go of Jason Garrett. I don't know what took so long, but you know, maybe that will spark this offense a little bit, give them a little bit of creativity. Freddie Kitchens expected to be next man up there as the offensive coordinator. So what are we doing in this game, Derek? I'm going to go with the Giants here. I think everyone's going to be on Philly out in the public. I think the Giants come back home, play a much better game, play a competitive game. Maybe they don't win, but I think they can keep this thing close. So I'll lock in the Giants. Derek, what do you got? Philly and New York.
Oh, man, this is a tough one from a betting perspective. DFS, you know, Hurts always makes some sense. But I will note that the Giants much better against the pass than they are against the run. And we saw, you know, when they played the Lions, they were just able to run all over them, and Hurts had his worst game of the season. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but he can still get it done on the ground. But the fact that they aren't passing the ball, I think they are dead last in pass play percentage over the last 6 weeks or something. You know, Hurts has 14, 17, 23, and 24 pass attempts his last four games. So that really hurts the upside of Devontae Smith and of Dallas Goedert. So off of them for now. And then, yeah, Daniel Jones, he's got some rushing upside too. I think it's a decent matchup for him. I don't mind going with Kadarius Toney. If Sterling Shepard ends up being out again. But, yeah, this is just a tough offense to trust. And, yeah, I don't know what to do with Barkley either. So I don't love a lot in this game, and I will take the under.
Yeah, I'm with you as far as DFS. Hurts is always a guy I'm intrigued with. But those Giants receivers, if Shepard's back, it's just tough to parse through who it's going to be any given week. Barkley, again, is intriguing, but I think there's better plays. Goddard, we keep waiting for the big blow-up game. The targets have been there. So I guess Hurts for me, a little bit of Goddard, maybe even Devonta Smith here in this matchup. So I like the Philly skill players here, Chop, but I'm still rolling with the Giants on the spread. What do you got here, Philly and the Giants?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, Hurts and Devontae and Goddard are the ones in play for Philly. I think they're okay. And for the Giants, it's the same usual cast of characters. There's not really much. Maybe Saquon's a week healthier, so maybe that helps. Jones, he sucks, but, you know, every once in a while he has a decent game. Ingram, he sucks. Galladay, not doing well. And Kadarius Toney's the one I do like. But let's face it, there. I think we're going to see a rejuvenated offense here because Jason Garrett is gone. And I didn't really want to believe that he was that bad, but he really was that bad. So maybe that's maybe it flips everything upside down. So because of that, this one, I'm locking this one in as my five-star this week. Give me the Giants. This is just the kind of game that Philly blows and just doesn't win, right? They lull you into thinking they're a pretty good team, and they win some games, and then, boom, they just crap the bed in a game like this. So give me the Giants big time.
Five-star block of the week.
We're just throwing out words. It's just semantics. But you don't really bet it as a five-star, but I feel good about it, though.
Yeah, I'm in agreement there, obviously. You mentioned Philly and the public. Again, it's looking like 70% of the bets are already on Philadelphia. So in that sense, and who would want to bet on the Giants after what we've seen? But I do think we see a better performance here this week at home. So let's move on to our next. Oh, boy. I didn't think it could get any worse than what we've already talked about. Jets and Texans next up on the board here. Derek, maybe Jacksonville, Atlanta is not the worst game on this slate. I stand corrected here. Houston, a favorite for the first time in as long as I can remember here. 2.5-point home favorites here, 44.5 on the total. So, Chop, good luck with this one. I mean, Zach Wilson back sounds like under center, so that their roulette at the quarterback position remains intact. No Michael Carter here for the Jets. He's going to be out a few weeks. Tevin Coleman back, along with Ty Johnson in that backfield. The Texans, we saw them let go of Philip Lindsay. So they're down to David Johnson, Rex Burkhead. Cooks is always a name. So I'm trying here, Chop. I'm trying to find something. Maybe you got more intrigue here, but two terrible teams. Can we dig out any gems here for fantasy. I guess Elijah Moore. I've been playing some good football. He's a name I think is very intriguing here. But, man, we got some ugly games on this slate this week. Headlined by this one, Chop. Good luck.
Well, listen, while you're sitting around your Thanksgiving table on Thursday and you're thinking about all the things you're thankful for, be thankful this is not the late night hammer on Thursday night. You know, we can just kind of like not even – we can just block this one out of our data bank if we really want to. It's ugly. I'm not really seeing a whole lot. I like DFS-wise. Maybe you throw a dart from across the room at Elijah Moore or Corey Davis or something. Houston's just terrible. Maybe if you're lucky, you get Brandon Cooks. But I've been, like, watching this guy for the last – like, he had that great start to the year, comeback mode and garbage time and all that. He's just not getting it anymore. So, but maybe you hit a dart throw right there. So, but from a DFS, otherwise, it's pretty ugly. So, oh, man, 2.5. Oof, this is weird. I gotta flip back to my underscript here. Give me the under in this game.
I thought you were gonna wait and see what was put on the board here.
So, there's no waiting on this. This is just bad stuff here.
I'm just threw up in my mouth a little bit thinking about this game. So Chop, they're busting you up in the chat about your Dallas Goedert.
My bad. I don't know. It's just a habit.
I mean, it kind of, you know, get a little French. Makes them seem a little fancier. I don't mind the Goedert. So.
he's no relation to Dennis Schroeder in the NBA.
There you go. All right. Noto, your turn here. Good luck. Jets, Texans.
Yeah, I think a few weeks ago when Chop first mentioned Goedert, I was wondering if I was pronouncing it wrong all these years.
Maybe you guys are. Maybe I'm the right one here. Who knows? There you go.
Yeah, I have plenty of those over the years, pronouncing names wrong. So I always love those. It's
kind of like Tyrod Taylor. All of a sudden it was Tyrod for a decade, and then he wants it to be Tyrod. Like, what took so long? Or it was the Green Bay tight end. Robert Tonyan. Tonyan.
Yeah.
So maybe Chop's right. Maybe it is Goedert. Who knows? Maybe he's French. We got a French tight end running around.
His retirement speech, he'll say it's Goedert. It's been Goedert all these years. But, yeah, this one's ugly. I'm fading it. The backfields are both three-way timeshares. It's so bad. Zach Wilson's bag, that hurts his receivers. So give me the under and fade it as a whole for DFS.
All right, I'm going to – it's my first favorite. I'm looking through all these bets. My first favorite bet is going to be the damn Houston Texans. This is a sad state of affairs here, but I'm going to back the Texans -2.5, riding high off that win last week. I think Wilson is going to really struggle, even against a bad defense. We just haven't seen it out of this guy. So give me Houston here, I guess. Let's get out of this game as quickly as possible. Move on to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Cincinnati -4.5, 45 on the total. So, Derek, at least we get a little something better to talk about here. The Cincinnati offense had out to a slow start in Vegas, but really got it going. A big game for Mixon. A passing game was kind of disappointing there, so can they bounce back here? And then Pittsburgh, what an entertaining game. That game against the Chargers was a lot of fun. It looked like they were dead and buried, and then block punt, interception, they're right back in the game. So what are we doing on this one? Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, divisional games, these two teams know each other very well. So is this more of a defensive struggle? Do we get some offense here? What do you got, Cincinnati and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I usually love betting the under, especially in these AFC North games late in the season. But, man, Pittsburgh's defense is not what it used to be. They're bottom 10 in DVOA against the pass, pretty average in DVOA against the run. You mentioned Joe Burrow. I mean, he's been great this season. He's got a lot of weapons. So I like Ja'Marr Chase. You know, wide receivers have had a bunch of success against Pittsburgh. T. Higgins, those air yards will eventually pay off. So I'll play a little bit of both of them. I don't hate Mixon as kind of a sleeper. You know, he went off his last game and nobody really had him. So a lot of pieces to like on Cincy. I play Najee Harris for Pittsburgh every single week. He's leads the NFL in snaps for running backs. And then you have Dante Johnson and Chase Claypool, who are both, you know, big play receivers. So I like a lot of pieces in this game. And for that reason, I'm going to take the over.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's a lot. The running backs stand out. Obviously, I don't mind going back to Burrow in the passing game. You mentioned that Steelers defense, ton of injuries. I mean, they're missing Fitzpatrick. They're missing Watt. So that's part of the reason they're not as dominant as they've been in the past. So other side, I think Pat Freiermuth becomes interesting again. It sounds like Ebron's not going to play, and that's kind of put him back on the shelf. So people may have forgotten about how good this guy has been. But if Ebron's not there stealing target snaps opportunity, I think we can go back to Freiermuth here as well. So a lot of ways that you can go in this game. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh and the points here. As soon as we think they're gone, they're buried, they're dead, they find a way to rise up and at least be competitive. And I think that's what we see here this week against Cincinnati. So, Chop, what do you got here? Steelers, Bengals.
Yeah, I think both of you guys are correct here in that there's a lot of DFS guys in this game that are relevant. There's you got two good running backs, one on each side, very good. You got a couple of good receivers on each side of that. You know, Deontay and Chase on one side, contrasting styles, but very good. And Jamar and T. Higgins on the other side, very good. So there's some DFS guys in there you can definitely play. I have a hard time wrapping my head around this game being some kind of a shootout, though. I just don't see that happening. I'm with Beer and thinking that it's too many points, but then again, Big Ben is really bad most of the time. So I really can't. Tough to figure out that side of it. I don't want to take the over. I think it's a grind out, more of a grind out game than that. So I go ahead and.
How many unders?
Man, I don't care. What the hell? Just give me the under on the whole board. Man, I'll hit at least 50% of them. Give me the under.
All right. I'm seeing some trends here, Chop. You're a lot of unders here. I'm on almost every underdog here. So
I got one for you. His strategy, man. You know, a couple of days after you eat all that turkey, there's no way you're going to go out there and be at full mobility. That plus we're getting into almost December now. Oh, yeah, it's got it. These games got to go under.
I'm the similar thinking. Like, these underdogs are going to perform here. These favorites are going to be sleepy, tired, full of turkey, and underdogs are going to rise up here this week. So we'll see which one wins out today. Let's move on. Carolina and Miami Panthers -2 here on the road. Total sitting at 42 in this one. So, Chop, we'll stay with you here. Carolina, a disappointing performance, losing to Washington at home last week. Miami ekes out a win against the Jets last week. So another kind of ugly game. I mean, McCaffrey always in play, no doubt. Cam Newton, I think, played a lot better than people thought he would in his first game back. So is he an option here? Do you trust the receivers with him? Miami side, Miles Gaskin continues to get a ton of work here. Tougher matchup this week against Carolina. So Chop, another ugly game here. Not quite as ugly as Jets and Texans, but this total's even lower than that game. So maybe it is a little bit uglier. What do you got here? Carolina and Miami.
I think you have the best running back on the slate. Obviously Christian McCaffrey getting back to that, almost full-time snap share in the backfield. He had a really subpar game last week and still ended up with, I think, 23 or 24 plus on DraftKings. He's just that guy, man. So you just jam him into your cash game, and he's a good tournament play too. Otherwise, I think Cam Newton brings down. I think Cam Newton brings down the value of everybody else on this team. And, I think people got lulled into, the offense is good now because he got down around the goal line the previous game and scored a touchdown and threw a little one-yard touchdown. Now, he's just not good through the course of a whole game. He's going to bring down DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson and those guys, I believe. So I'm just on McCaffrey on that side. On the other side, Miami, I think you could go back to Tua and Waddle. Waddle's really good PPR guy. I don't know how much I like him on FanDuel where you need a little bit more touchdown equity. But Tua and Waddle's fine. I don't play Gaskin, man. We keep falling for the Gaskin value. It just very rarely gets there, even in the great matchups, because the offensive line is just too bad. So I'm kind of just on Tua and maybe another one of his, maybe Gesicki. But, that's about it. So looking at this, Carolina's 2-point favorite on the road. I don't see it, man. Give me Miami.
I'm going to go with Carolina, and exactly for the reason you just mentioned. This one's a head-scratcher. Like, why are they the favorites here in this game? But Miami has disappointed all season long. Okay, they beat the Jets. This is a bad team. So I think Carolina defensively is going to really slow this team down. They have enough weaponry now with Cam there, with McCaffrey, with DJ Moore, put some points here on the board. So I don't want to mess with this total, but I'm going Carolina here on the road. It seems fishy. I think it is for a reason, Carolina, just simply the better team, in my opinion. So, Derek, your thoughts here, Panthers, Dolphins.
Yeah, I think you guys mentioned it. I mean, Christian McCaffrey in play each and every week, over 100 yards in each of the last two games. I know Cam Newton's going to steal some of the rushing touchdowns in this offense. But, man, Cam looked great in the first half, and then he got hit. And after that, it just looked like he was back to, you know, took his whole body to start throwing the ball again. And whenever that happens, it just seems like he can't get the ball downfield. So I agree with Chopin that he hurts the receivers, but still like McCaffrey. And then, I mean, Gaskin was up to 3.9 yards per carry last week, Chop. No interest there? Guess not.
No, hard pass.
Silence speaks volumes, sir.
I had to get it off mute, but, like, you know. Yeah. Or you really, you know, you're not serious. I know you're not serious.
That was one of his highs of the last 8 weeks or so. So
he's terrible. He's not terrible. The offensive line's terrible. You know?
Yeah, it's bad. But I like Waddle. I like Jasicki a little bit, even though it was a tough matchup. And for my pick, Yeah, I'll take Miami. I mean, they've won three in a row. They're technically not still out of it, so I don't think they're going to try losing games anytime soon. Yeah, I don't like the game, but I'll take Miami.
All right, to Miami. So I am on Carolina Island here, fine with me. So let's take a look back at last week. Let's look at some of the top finishers here in our OGs contest. We want to highlight some people in the top five. And I finally got in there, boys. Top 10 finish. So not quite in the top five, but finally put a good score on the board. But let's talk about some of these top finishers. Jay Butt, 77. Coming in fifth place, 151.22. So congrats to him. Looks like he rode a Miami stack here. Big game from Justin Jefferson and Joe Mixon. Fourth place, rocking that RG logo. Flo-Hide 5, 151.36. Went with Josh Allen. Had Jonathan Taylor, 4% owned. So he was a key. But looked like he went heavy in that game. Buffalo stack running it back with Jonathan Taylor. So congrats to Flo-Hide 5. Third place. We're just going to call him DJ Flem here, 151.5. Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, a huge number there for the Green Bay connection. Also had Joe Mixon in that lineup, so congrats to them. Second place, Greerd, we're going to call him, 153.46. Again, Josh Allen, Diggs, Jonathan Taylor in that lineup. So second place, good for $250. And our winner, Jay Ranger 7, not only the winner here, $500 in this tournament, looking good on that season-long leaderboard, but also rocking that RG badge. That gets Jay Ranger a year of Roto Grinders premium combo. So a huge addition to that prize pool here for Jay Ranger. So 164.62. So ran away with this thing, won by over 11 points here with Colt McCoy, 0.3% owned. Quarterback stacked him up with Zach Ertz. Obviously had a big game there. Also James Conner in that lineup. Ran it back with DK Metcalf. So one hell of a lineup here. Had hits all across the board. Justin Jefferson, Davante Adams, and survived some duds even from Jeff Wilson and from Metcalf. So congrats to Jay Ranger. Again, was rocking that RG badge on FanDuel. That won him a year of combo premium. And guys, we said it might be a one-week thing. We're going to run it back. We're going to run the same thing here this week in the contest. If you have a RotoGrinders logo as your avatar here on FanDuel, you win this contest, you're going to win a free year of RotoGrinders premium combo. So it's tough to beat that prize, you guys. So Chop, season long, let's take a look at the leaderboard. And where is Urinal Cakes? Looks like he's not up there anymore.
He's in the top 20. Yeah, okay. 13. Look at there. He's hanging in there. Right. The Jay Ranger, he was anxious to get that. He was anxious to get that that RG pass. Hey, it's a big prize, man. It's a big prize, but he was on it, man. He was ready. But you know, I was looking through the leaderboard season long. First of all, I had somebody tell me this week, I don't want to drop no names, but it was my dad. He told me. He was like, Yeah, a lot of people don't want to play because, you know, you're already behind. Well, no, listen, they're only they're taking your top 10 scores. So we still got like what we got like a ton of weeks still left. You can still get up in there. It's like you can almost start fresh from now. If you have a good run from here out to the regular rest of the season, you're going to be fine. This is a top 10 scores. These scores can change so much in 1 week. Or in a couple weeks, a few weeks, you build a foundation starting now and you can get back in it, guys. It's not like this is not over with. And I'm sure that more people think that it's over with just like he did. It's not. It's kind of just beginning. We're barely halfway through this season. It's an extended season this year and we're only taking the top 10 scores. So you're still fully in it. And with that being said, Derek moved up. I don't know if he moved up, but he's still in the top 70, 75. DB's name is in there. Dean dropped into the just outside of the top 80. So, you know, we got some movement there. Look at old Torrey is there in number 38. He's sneaking up on us, man.
Bad week last week.
Yeah, it's okay. Trust me, your bad week is my best week of the year so far. It's been like that, but it's okay. We'll deal with that. I'm looking for a beer if you talk.
No. One good score is not going to have me jump.
You never know. This is the kind of competition where all of a sudden you jump up and look at DB at 79. He's hanging in there. Dean at 87. I wish we could delete that one, but I don't see beer in the top 100. I bet if I go to the top 200, you definitely jumped in there though for sure. But yeah, I need one of those, man. I need one of those top five finishes.
Well, I mean, and this is when it's going to start getting interesting because we're 11 weeks in. So there's really not many drop scores yet. I mean, you're only dropping one
exactly
at this point. So now we're really going to start to see some movement in this leaderboard. Like you said, there's still 7 weeks to go. And if anything else, you come in, you have a couple massive weeks. You are very much still in the running. Plus, there's weekly prizes. So $7 becomes $500 to the winner each and every week. Plus, you land that combo premium. That's an expensive addition to the prize pool there. So,
you're not getting any extra rake because of these things either. It's still the normal prize pool, regardless every week. It's still the norm, like the 5K on top, the Roto Grinders premium, whatever else that's not extra. It's free.
Yep. Tough to be free. So, we want to thank you guys for being with us here over the years. That's why we continue to do these things. FanDuel working in conjunction with us on this tournament. So let's fill this baby up. I know the focus is Thanksgiving this week, but take a second, go reserve your entries. Let's make sure we fill this thing so we can continue to run contests like this for you guys out there. So again, all the details at FanDuel.com/OG. Let's take a look at our betting leaderboard here. Not a ton of change last week. Chop, you had 6 correct last week. I also had 6, Noto with 5, so not a ton of movement there. We got Chop still sitting atop the leaderboard with 63, Derek at 61, and I am at 59. So all still kind of clumped together. Speaking of a lot of weeks ago, somebody's going to put a 9, 10, 11 on the board one of these weeks and really separate themselves. So we'll see if it's Chop's unders, maybe get it done here this week. But anyone's ball game there. As well. All right, let's get back to the games. We got a 3-game afternoon slate on Sunday. Starts with the Chargers in Denver. LA minus 2.5, 47.5 on the total. So, Chop, we'll go to you here. Chargers look great. Survived that Pittsburgh comeback. Justin Herbert looked outstanding in that game. Austin Eckler, massive game there. So, this is that offense. You know, there's so many pieces that you can roll out here in Denver. The Broncos, on the other hand, really tough to trust much of anything here. Split backfield. The return of Judy has kind of zapped the upside of Sutton, of Fant. So mostly Chargers here for me. I know it's a tough spot to go to Denver, but this offense playing really well. So I don't mind these Charger stacks here. And I'm going to lock my pick in here. I like the Chargers a lot in this game. I think they go out there, they win. So give me LA minus 2.5. Chop. Chargers, Broncos, what do you got?
Yeah, just looking. So there's 3 games in the afternoon, and there's 3 games on Thanksgiving. How nice would it be to swap those set slates, man? Because these afternoon games look pretty nice. I like them. I like them quite a bit. But I think I'm with you there. I like the Chargers. Herbert, they're just not – they don't let him throw the new offense we thought was going to be a lot better than the old offense. it kind of not really playing to his strengths. And that's whipping the ball downfield. That's what he does best. You know, when he does, he's pretty unstoppable. This offense is unstoppable. So maybe they'll let him, you know, they ended the game with that big Mike Williams touchdown the other night. Maybe that kind of gets him going to where he moves the ball downfield. They are the better team here. They're superior on offense. I think their defense has some injuries that are crushing them right now, but they'll get back on the right track eventually. I like the passing game. Eckler, my God, I sat him on my bench in season long. Unreal.
Oh.
Yep.
Why?
I had some
better plays than Austin Eckler
well,
on your team.
I wasn't going to bench. It was against Pittsburgh. And I wasn't going to bench Elliott. I thought Elliott would have a much bigger game. And I fell for the Jeff Wilson trap.
Oh, no.
The only running back. The only running back for Frisco. And it's a touchdown heavy league. And I thought, okay, touchdown, Jeff Wilson. That's the man. Okay. You know what? During the daytime, I was facing off against Jonathan Taylor. And I was like, well, I'm dead anyway. Come to find out after the Eckler game, I would have won, but that's, you know, it is what it is. All right.
You live and you learn.
Yeah.
Austin Eckler. Come on, Sean.
But, you know, Eckler just put up that big number. It's not about chasing points or fading out. I just don't, it's the NFL. I just don't think, you know, those monster games happen 2 weeks in a row like that very often. So I'm not as much on Eckler, and I'm more on the wide receivers here for the Chargers on Denver side. I just don't think they're a particularly appealing offense with Teddy Bridgewater back there. So I'm not really on them that much. So I guess I'm with you in the fact that I think the Chargers go out there and get on a nice little winning streak now and they win this game. I'm going Chargers.
Right. 2 for 2 on the Chargers. Have we added anything to the card yet? Oh, we had one. The under in Tennessee, New England. So, Derek, are we adding to the card here? Your thoughts, Chargers and Denver.
I mean, this is the game the Chargers lose every single year. They're trending in the right direction. They're firmly in the mix. They're making a run, and then they lose a game that they shouldn't. But I like them as well. I think Denver's injuries on the defensive side, especially the linebacker position, I think they're going to be able to do whatever they want pretty much offensively. Eckler should have another big game. I mean, Denver's bottom five in run DVOA right now, and that's probably going to get worse with those injuries. So, yeah, I like that. I don't mind the Mike Williams call by Chop. He looked healthy last week and finally got him loose a little bit. Keenan Allen's always interesting. And the best way to beat the Chargers is on the ground. And I just don't trust Melvin Gordon or Javonte Williams from a DFS perspective. So I'm going to be fading Denver. Give me the Chargers. It's bound to be bad, though.
Yeah, you're not wrong. There are that team that's kind of like Philadelphia. One of you guys hit on earlier that, you know, as soon as you think they're playing well, they're doing well, they throw a dud on the board. So always a worry there, but I like the way they're playing right now. I think they get that W. All right, let's move on. Minnesota, San Francisco up next. Niners minus 349 on the total. And Chop, you're right. This afternoon slate should be a lot of fun here. So, Derek, we'll stay with you in this one. The Niners coming off that win in Jacksonville. Minnesota coming off a big win against my Packers as well. So two teams riding high here. Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson. So you got some big names, expensive names. Other side, we'll see if we get Elijah Mitchell back or do we get another week of Jeff Wilson, Debo Samuel playing some good football here. Kittle, another big name. So Derek, a lot of ways you can go here. A lot of big names, a lot of star power in this one. What do you got, Vikings and 49ers?
Yeah, there's a decent chance that Debo Samuel is the best running back and the best wide receiver on the Niners. I mean, he's looked great as a runner and as a pass catcher. So, I like him quite a bit this week. I'm not scared of Minnesota secondary by any means. The game has a pretty high total, like you mentioned. So, I like Debo a lot. You know, Kittle's back and at full health. You can definitely look his way at the tight end position. That's always – pretty ugly. And then you mentioned it for Minnesota. It's pretty much a two-man show for me. I like Dalvin Cook. I like Justin Jefferson. As far as the game goes, man, it feels like San Fran should win this game handily at home. But that three, it should be. I feel like it should be higher, but I'll still take San Fran.
All right. I'm going to go with the under in this one. I'm gonna jump on Chop's train here. The total's pretty high here. It's two teams that ideally want to run the ball more than they throw the ball. So I think it could be an uglier type game. I don't know that we're going to get a shootout. I know everyone looked last week, Minnesota, Green Bay was the game you wanted. That turned into a shootout, but I think this one could be a little bit ugly. So I like some of the plays. I don't necessarily know about a game stack here in this one. So give me the under. Chop, what do you got? Vikings, Niners.
You know, I like watching. I might be in the minority. I like watching Minnesota play offense. They've got, you know, they're either running the ball with Dalvin Cook, who's a pretty fun watching running back, the way he hits the hole. Or you're out on the ends, getting downfield with Justin Jefferson, who's like one of the most exciting wide receivers in the NFL. Or Adam Thielen, who's fun in his own right. I like this offense. It's not a good team in general, but I like the offense. They're fun to watch. And Frisco, they're kind of the opposite. They're kind of boring to watch, but except for Debo, who's just there's a reason why his name is Debo, man. He's a man among boys out there. So
here come Debo. Hide your shit.
Yep. And so, yeah, I tell you, you said it might be another Jeff Wilson week. It will not be another Jeff Wilson week for the Chop Man in season long. I might be dropping this guy. That was terrible, but I fully expect Mitchell to come back this week, probably wearing some kind of a cast on his hand, but he's by far their best running back. Well, I know Debo probably is, like Derek said, but he's so fast when he hits the hole. Mitchell, he fits the style perfectly, so I'm excited to watch that one. I think it's a fun game. Don't know if I can go with the over, though. That's a lot of points for these guys. I think I may be I think we may be in a situation where Frisco knows that they need to win a lot of games in a row to get back in the playoff, full playoff chase in that division. So field goal is not enough to hold me down. I'm going to take Frisco too.
All right, let's finish it up. Last game on the docket. Another one should be a lot of fun. The Rams traveling to Green Bay to take on the Packers. Green Bay just -1 here. Another big total chop at 48. So no major injuries here outside of things we already know. Aaron Jones. Likely going to be out once again. We know Robert Woods on the other side, done for the year. So the Rams kind of been stumbling a little bit here, Chop. It looked unstoppable offensively over the first part of the season, and that's just not been the case here over the last couple weeks. So is this a spot they bounce back? This Green Bay defense playing better than anyone expected, myself included, especially with some of the pieces they're missing. So on that side of the ball, another A.J. Dillon week, the price creeping up a little bit, but tough matchup here with the Rams, Devontae Adams. We know we'll spend some time with Jalen Ramsey. I know we don't like to talk about those matchups, but again, some interesting matchups here, an interesting game. I'm excited to watch this one. As far as fantasy DFS goes, Chop, who are you highlighting here? Who are you plucking out of this game, Rams and the Packers?
Well, I tell you what, I want to retract my Giants 5-star. I want to take that one back. I'm putting my 5-star on this game right here. My 5-star. And I have not looked at the weather, so I hope I don't get messed up here with snow and stuff like that. But I like the over in this game big time.
Okay.
I think the Rams have had a little time now to kind of reflect on the things they did poorly on offense in their last couple of games. And I think they're going to bounce back here big time. And Aaron Rodgers is who he is. He's just one of the best in the game. You're not going to hold him down. So he'll go toe-to-toe. You know, when the Rams jump out to a lead, Aaron Rodgers won't let his team get too far behind. He'll answer. It'll make it for a lot of pace in the game, lots of plays, and I like it a lot. So I like it so much that I'm not going to try to pinpoint, like, you go Stafford, you go Kupp, Van Jefferson's a fine value play. If you really want to play Odell, go for it. You know, the tight end Higbee's in play on the other side, Aaron Rodgers. I think A.J. Dillon's in play. He couldn't get in the end zone last week. Didn't get a lot of carries because of game script, but he got checked down to quite a bit. Look at his targets. He was a target monster. So he's in play, whether it's in getting the goal line carries or a bad game script, he can still get there with the targets. Devontae is – like that connection is the best connection in the NFL, Rodgers, Devontae. So he's squarely in play. So I like all pieces of this game, running backs, receivers, quarterbacks. I like the over here big time.
Yeah, this one's definitely stackable, even with some of those more difficult matchups on paper. I mean, Devontae Adams, maybe the best receiver in the game, so I'm not worried about that one. Plus, we talk about Ramsey really hasn't been a shadow guy. Other side, Cooper Kupp has been a monster. Those running backs, like you mentioned, are both in good spots here. So I'm gonna pull Chop's language here and lock in a 5-star pick myself. Not on the over, though, and I don't know if I'm being a homer here. I'm going to back it up with some stats here in a second, but I'm going with Green Bay, -1. This just feels too low. It feels a little weird. You figure they'd at least be -3 at home. So I know Jones is not there, but This team has been a covering machine. Green Bay is 9-2 this season against the spread, 9-1 against the number over their last 10 games at home. So this is a team that plays well at Lambeau, 9-1 overall, 8-2 in the last 10 at home, I should say. So they play well at home. The Rams been stumbling a little bit. I think Green Bay is the better team here. My five-star this week, I'm going Green Bay minus the one. Derek, finish us off here. Rams, Packers, what do you got?
Yeah, beer with the stats. I love it. That's enough for me. So give me Green Bay at home. I like that. And breaking news, it sounds like Aaron Jones is going to practice on Wednesday. So
there we go.
We might have to monitor that. If he's out, I love A.J. Dillon again. If he's playing, then just give me some Devontae Adams on the Green Bay side. And for the Rams, yeah, you can play pretty much anyone. I keep waiting for a big game from Henderson. Green Bay historically not great against running backs. He's played at least 60% of the snaps in every game so far this season. So I'll probably go back to him a little bit as well. And then, you know, obviously always going to be on some Cooper Kupp. So, yeah, it should be a fun game. And like you guys mentioned, leave a lot of those spots open for that late slate because most of the good games are in the afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, there were some ugly ones along the way. So I'm glad we got to finish up with some good games. Should be a fun three-game slate there. So the final parlay card, we got two picks for this week. We got under 44 in Tennessee and New England. And we all agreed on the Chargers minus 2.5 in Denver. So a little two-teamer there for you this week. But thank you guys. Went a little long this week. We wanted to get that Thanksgiving slate in. I want to say happy Thanksgiving to both of you guys, your families, and everybody out there as well. We appreciate you listening. Have fun tomorrow. Enjoy it. Don't be the guy drinking, driving. Do it safely. Have some fun. Sit out, watch some football, and hopefully winning some money here in your bets and your DFS contest. So happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there. Guys, final thoughts for the people. Derek, what do you got?
Yeah, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. We appreciate you. It's been a lot of fun doing this podcast. And so we hope we can help you a little bit, even if it's just entertaining you for a little bit over an hour each week. You know, our picks, they're up and down. But, you know, we're going to trend up, enter the OG contest, and good luck, everybody.
Yep, FanDuel.com/OG. Come play against us, Dean, Dan, a ton of Roto Grinders personalities in that one. Again, adding the prize of a year of Roto Grinders Premium. If you're not a premium member, you're missing out. Tons of information, lineup builders. I mean, there's just so much there. So an easy way, switch that avatar over to that RG badge and take this thing down, and you'll add that combo premium for 1 year absolutely free. So Chop, final thoughts for the people here. Week 12, Thanksgiving. What do we got?
You know what? We say it several times a year, but this might be the best time of the year. This might be because you got your Thanksgiving Day, your football, and all the holiday that goes with it. Then you got your, you know, couple of days of college football and then another NFL slate. And you get that Thanksgiving meal over with, and then you can get out there and start hanging them Christmas lights. You got to love them Christmas lights, man. It's just it's fun stuff. I like it. I'm looking forward to it. Unlike some people, I enjoy the Thanksgiving food. I really like it. I think having it just once a year keeps it very interesting. If I had it every week, then it wouldn't be as good. So I'm okay with it. But yeah, like the guy said, we appreciate you guys tuning in. You don't have to take this and build a lineup with this information. That's kind of not, I wouldn't suggest that anyway, but it's just for entertainment, just having some fun with it. You know, when you draw yourself a nice warm bubble bath and put our podcast on, man, and listen to it in the tub. It's the good stuff like that. So we'll catch you guys next week, but have a happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So well said there, and see what Dallas Go Derek can do this week. We got Derek taking down some turkey legs. So guys, enjoy it. Again, happy Thanksgiving from us to you and your families out there. And again, do it safely if you're going to be out there having some fun. All right, we got a little man sighting. What's up, dude?
Say hi.
Hi.
How are you? Happy Thanksgiving, buddy.
He said, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, I can't say it any better than that. That's how we're going to end it. Appreciate that. He's welcome anytime to hang out. Man, is he's a little cutie. He's going to be a slayer down the line. But, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. Enjoy the holiday. We'll be back next week breaking down week 13. Best of luck in all of your contests and your bets this week. For Notorious and the Little Man there, For Chop, I am Beer. We are the DFS OGs. Thank you for listening. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you next week.